Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm sitting here broadcasting from my bright red desk because I have plans for this evening, and it's an amazing week. So I wanted to make sure you got the broadcast before 11 tonight, because that would be the next time I could do it, because of the prime time blockout, because I'm not a prime time broadcaster. So I'm doing it early, because this week is truly one of the most interesting weeks and amazing weeks, and it's once every 50-year kind of week, because this week Jupiter perfects the grand trine with Saturn and Neptune. So last week and this week, we're having this huge amount of energy flying around in the sky. We also have a couple of other big things going on this week. We have the Uranus station to go retrograde, and we also have the Eris station to go retrograde, our newest troublemaker up there in the heavens. So, of course, whenever she stops, there's big things going on, too. So what we do here in the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's happening in the week ahead and how you can work with it. And then, secondly, give you a heads up on what days are going to be exciting and what days, you know, you want to kind of stay home with the covers over your head. Or just kind of not pick a fight with the guy next to you because they might punch you in the face. There was a big fight down in the village this week. You know, some drunk guy said something, and so the guy stood up and punched him in the face and fell on the road and cracked his head open and probably going to die and, you know, getting sued. I mean, you know, being aware of the energies being a little volatile always helps. That's the way I think of it. And, you know, then, you know, just even on a mundane level, you know, more cat fights. We've been having cat fights here in the house because Mars is out of bounds. And he's in the mood to pick an argument and fight with people. So cats, you know, fall in the same category. So it helps you understand what we're working with. It helps you see the world and get a different picture of it. And to help you kind of go, so that's what I'm feeling. So last week we had a Venus aspect squaring the nodes of fate. A few people got relationship ending notices. I'm ending my relationship or I want to leave. A few people met people. You know, I met this guy, I met this girl. So we never know quite how the aspects are going to show up, but we do know Venus aspect in the nodes last week offered us an emotional choice. This week, huge week, huge, huge week. We have Mercury going direct, which is always fun because she's been retrograde. He's been retrograde for the last 21 days, really screwing up communications, having people with lots of cell phone problems, computer problems, car problems, losing their cell phones. It's just, you know, Mercury retrograde tra-la stories. And he often asks us to double-check, triple-check, pay attention to, you know, you order coffee regular and you get to back to the office and it's black and you go, you know, I ordered regular, they didn't hear regular. So whenever Mercury stations, we know that the few days on either side of him, people don't hear very well. So he's stationing on Saturday the 20th, which means the 17th, 18th, 19th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Give those 3 days, but especially the 19th, 20th, and 21. People just don't hear. So double-check communications on those days. That's part one. We'll start with the easier stuff for those of you. Somebody wrote, you know, I take notes about everything you say on the radio show, which made me think, gee, I should be more organized, you know, because I just kind of riff on the aspects. So I'm going to be more organized for you note takers out there. This may last for exactly one show, but at least I'm trying. Okay, then Uranus stations. Oh, and Mercury is stationing on the degree of 13 Cancer. So that brings in important things. So like in my case, that's my nodes. So I know I'm going to meet somebody or run into somebody important next week on the 19th, 20th, or 21st. And my friend Margaret and I are going bat watching in Central Park. You know, I run a regular routine. You know, I have my little route. I'm a little rat. You know, I run, you know, from my house to the open center. I go to the grocery store. I go to meet some friends for dinner, whatever. I don't generally do things out of my little track. But next Friday, Margaret and I are going bat watching in Central Park. They have this thing where you go with, who knew, there's a bat group in New York City. I think that's like a real Scorpio kind of thing to do. So anyway, that's when the nodes, that's when Mercury stations on my nodes. So I might meet somebody cute at the bat watching. So I'm going to pay attention next weekend to see who I meet because somebody's coming in on my south node, because Mercury's stationing on my south node. And, of course, it might just be the bat group leader or the fact that there are things such as bat groups in New York, and we're going to walk in Central Park and listen for bats. How cool is that? One of those things. So that's Mercury on the South Node. Now, when I planned the bat watching, did I know this? No, I just did it because Margaret and I do those kinds of things, and I knew she would say yes, and she did. And off we go. So watch, correlate what happens. So watch for the Mercury station of 13 Cancer. Whatever it lands on in your chart, it's going to stimulate any planets at 13. Next up, Uranus is stationing at 12. Oh, gee, 12, 13. Aries, ooh, Uranus square Mercury, right? So Uranus is stationing on the 17th. Now, Uranus is a big guy, all right? So when he stations, we give him 5 days on either side, which means we've already felt it. Friday, Saturday, we're in orb, we're feeling it. And then all this week, and then the 3 days at the end, the 5 days at the end of the week, two next Mondays, full moon. So Uranus stationing at 12. Now, he's now going to go backwards for a while, and he's going to go backwards. Of course, I didn't prepare this because it's too early in the morning and I haven't had my coffee yet. Uranus is going to go backwards until he goes direct at 8:35 on December 18th, okay? So he's going to go backwards, and of course that means when he squares Pluto on November 1st, he's going to be backwards and Pluto's going to be direct. So we'll have an interesting story that happens then when they have their fourth of their seven squares. But he's going backwards, but he's stopping at 13, which is, of course, square to where Mercury is. So Mercury square Uranus, we're going to have unusual and exciting news this week that starts on the 17th when he stations and that carries through to the 20th when Mercury stations. Then we also have Eris, the goddess of discord. Now, remember, she's the mean girl. Mike Brown over in the Jet Propulsion Lab has been naming more women up in the heavens, but he's picking the mean ones. So Eris is mean. She's Mars's sister, and she's stationing at 22 Aries. So I have a friend who's got a moon at 22 Aries, and he's got a hot temper. So I know he's going to have a bad week. That's okay. Watch for those 22 Aries people. Because they're all going to have a crabby, cranky week. And that's July 19th. And, of course, Eris is an outer bounds planet, too. So we're going to give her four or five planets, because she's way out there past Pluto. We're going to give her 4 or 5 days, too. So this whole week, people are going to be real irritable. Watch for that week, that degree of 22 Aries in your chart, or 22 period. Any planets you have at 22 can get highly stimulated because Eris is stationing to go retrograde. And when she goes retrograde, it's just kind of it's not fun. But what she does is she makes us, and I guess we'll pitch a little for Eris, because she's a misunderstood little dwarf planet out there. She is the principle where you get irritated because you're left out or because you're not getting what you want, right? Now, of course, when my friend David Tavelin, we were talking when she was first discovered, and she wasn't named yet. And David's like, she's the angry lesbian in my chart, Anne. He's this guy, and he would periodically go off, and he had a temper, and he'd go, and she's in my third house, and when she goes off, it's like I have an angry lesbian in my chart, and I just completely lose it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they named her Eris, and we went, oh, wow, that's like she is. I mean, not necessarily that Eris is lesbian, but she's angry. She's pretty mad. And she's Mars's sister. She wasn't invited to the Trojan War party, or wasn't invited to a christening because she was a troublemaker. And so she threw the apple in and said, for the most beautiful goddess. And they all bit. They all wanted to be the most beautiful goddess. They all wanted the apple. And then it started the Trojan War when Paris didn't pick Athena and Hera, right? So she knows how to stir the pot. So what that means is this week we're going to have our pot stirred. All right. Now, we just had the Trayvon Martin verdict come in, not guilty. We just had Texas pass the abortion law, closing thousands of abortion, hundreds of abortion clinics. We're getting the setup. We had Egypt going crazy. We're getting the setup for a wild and woolly week, right, with all this fire energy stopping. Now, that's the stopping planets. Remember, when they stop, they build up the tension. They make us aware of the lower forms, the ultimate version. No, they totally make us stimulate, because planets stopping is not normal. They're supposed to keep moving. If I read your chart and you have a stopped planet, I know there's a huge story around that planet in your life, because that planet is stopped in the sky when the day you were born, and that then makes an enormous impact in your chart, because it's the only guy that isn't moving, right? And, of course, hold your breath. Notice how fast you can last, and then you give it up. You can't stop things. And particularly planets, you just try and hold your breath, and you go, ha, ha, ha. You know, planets stopping even bigger, even harder. So stopped planets, very big. So this week we have 3 stopped planets, right? We have Mercury, which no big shakes. We go through that a couple times a year. Eris, which is big. She's a big girl, and even though she's a dwarf and she's mean. And then Uranus, who is in fire. And the interesting part is Uranus is squaring Mercury. So we are going to have a lot of fiery explosions this week, right? And we're in orb of it already. So we're starting with the plane crashes. We're going to have more of them, right? Because the planets get on these degrees and kind of park on them for a while. And last week, just watch for fire. Watch, be careful with candles. Drive carefully, because Mercury and Uranus both rule cars. Cell phones falling into barbecues, exploding cell phones, you know, things like that. Always interesting to see what happens when two planets station squaring each other. Makes for a big breakthrough mentally, too, because Mercury is the mind. You see things differently than you ever saw before. And Uranus is the aha moment, the lightning bolt, the Promethean instinct for seeing fire and having yourself permanently changed. So those are our stations. Okay, that one of them this week would be enough. But we got 3 of them. We also have, in addition to this wonderful energy of stationing, we also have 2 grand trines getting formed this week. The first one is the one I wrote about extensively last week, which is the grand trine that forms of Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune. Jupiter's going to set off Saturn and Neptune this week. Jupiter's going to set off Saturn and Neptune on the 17th, the same day that Uranus stations. So he's going to set off Saturn at 1:32. He's going to set off Neptune at 8:16. Okay, so that grand trine perfects in the sense that Jupiter goes through and sets it off. Now, Saturn and Neptune are going to still have another dance with each other. But Jupiter's running through that baby and setting it off. These 3 planets, now Jupiter and Saturn, as I mentioned last week, form a closing trine every 20 years. Neptune in the mix makes it very different. Last time Neptune was in the mix was in 66. Time before that was 1929. Time before that, yes, I went month by month, through the calendar, 1834, okay? So this is a very rare grand trine in water. Highly, highly productive and highly fluid, very big. And Saturn, of course, is the swamp, right? And Jupiter, the river upstream, is coming, whacking the swamp and going through the swamp into the ocean, okay? There's a big flood coming downriver. Jupiter in Cancer is a nice planet, okay? We generally like this, so I think this is going to be a good flood. The interesting thing, of course, is it's happening on the same day that Uranus is exploding, right? So, like, think Hoover Dam blowing up and then the water coming downstream. Think, it'll be interesting to see how this imagery plays out, because that's on Wednesday the 17th. But it's a very powerful energy. And right before Uranus squares, it rolls through. Now, when I was a kid, I lived upstate New York in Rochester, New York, and there was a point in time when the canal wall broke. The Erie Canal rolled through Pittsburgh, the town I grew up in, and it rolled through Rochester. You know, it was a big delivery system. My great-great-grandfather helped dig it. He was Irish, and he helped dig it with a lot of mosquitoes, apparently. And it linked the Great Lakes to the Hudson River. to New York City Harbor. So this was a huge shipping thing, the Erie Canal was. And the Erie Canal broke in my backyard, I mean, nearby, not my house itself. But when it broke, it flooded these surrounding neighborhoods with water, you know, that kind of came out of nowhere, fresh water. You know, nobody really thought they were living in the Erie Canal floodplain because there wasn't one, but the wall gave loose. And, you know, we used to go skate on it. In fact, I almost drowned when I was a little kid because I fell in, you know, the ice wasn't quite solid. Fell in the hole there. It was not a pleasant experience. But yeah, so that, you know, when I was thinking about, well, what the hell would have happened back then, that was the Erie Canal breaking in 66, because that's about when it went. So watch for flooding, unexpected flooding, walls giving way and floods happening. And in your own life, this is going to be an economic or an emotional or a psychological breakthrough, because Uranus is stationing square, and then boom, the floodwaters come through. Now, for each of us individually, remember, what we see in the heavens is reflected somewhere in our chart. So you're going to look at the second house or whatever house your planets are in, Uranus is in, to see where the Aries house is getting woken up. Then you're going to have this breakthrough of an emotional reaction, right, that'll come flooding through you. And know that that's part of the journey of this transit, that this breakthrough of water. Now, the orb, the Grand Trine stays in orb for the bulk of the summer because, you know, Neptune's stationing and Jupiter's stationing and all these guys are stationing. But this is the week when we have the pulse of energy and we work with it. Later in the week, we are going to have a secondary pulse on Saturday as Mars goes through this. And interestingly, on Wednesday, Uranus stations retrograde, and then Jupiter hits Saturn and Neptune right that day. On the 20th, Mercury stations going direct, squaring Uranus, right? And then Mars hits those two planets right after that on Saturday afternoon, the 20th. So boom, boom, this chart is getting set off. This Grand Trine is being formed, and Mars comes through and sets off the whole thing again after Jupiter sets it off on Wednesday. So we're going to have two hits. First hit is Jupiter, which is the awakening, the understanding, the experiential, the aha moment, the relationship to the outside world, your connection to your groups. Right behind it comes, 2 days later, Mercury stations, Mars pulses through, right? And as Mars pulses through, he, of course, is a little more action-oriented. He's in Cancer. So we're going to look at the moon that day. The moon that day is Sagittarius and Capricorn. Capricorn moon at the time of the Mercury. It's Sagittarius at the time of the Mercury station, Capricorn at the time of the Mars, right? So Mars is actually an emotional sign, but he's answering to the moon in Capricorn. So he's exalted by ruler, meaning, you know, he's answering to the moon in Capricorn. Mars likes to be in Capricorn, but the moon is in detriment when it's in Capricorn. But that also means that moon and Mars can change signs because they're in mutual reception. I didn't say that very clearly. Let me try it again. Mars is in Cancer. So what we're going to watch Mars, because he goes into Cancer as of yesterday, as of the 13th of July, he's in Cancer, and he's out of bounds, right? So he's now out of bounds in emotional signs. Every time the moon changes signs, our emotional behavior is going to shift. Our actions are going to be ruled by the moon, and as the moon changes signs during the course of the week, we're going to change our behaviors. So then what I did was I looked at what was going on Saturday. Saturday, the moon is in two signs. He's in Sagittarius when Mercury stations, which is a sign Mercury doesn't like. Mercury's in Cancer, right? So too much information, lots of information. Then he's in Capricorn, which is another sign the moon doesn't like. But Mars likes the moon in Capricorn. Mars does not like being in Cancer. So that basically means Saturday can be the best day of your life or the worst day of your life because it's, you know, because it's answering to rulers it really doesn't care for very much, but it can deal with if it has to. Or it can swap places doing a mutual reception thing, and they can be much, much bigger, much happier, much more fun. So we don't know, or both, You know, it can be the worst day and the best day. It's going to be a big day, right? So we've got really interesting planetary aspects this week. When I saw them early in the week, when I, you know, I pull the column and I start meditating about what I want to say. And then we also have later in the week, and we'll just throw this in, we have Saturn coming to trine Neptune on the 19th, okay? Now, Saturn-Neptune, interestingly, the midpoint of that in your chart is the weakest point of your body. Transits to that often, you know, mean you leave. You know, you leave Earth, or you can have some big thing happen. You know, I learned that one early on, 1996. I had a friend die of an aneurysm, and Uranus stationed on his Saturn-Neptune midpoint. So Saturn trining Neptune, right? Saturn says, let's build the structures. Neptune says, let's dissolve things. But the trine says, let's work together to build the dream, right? That's the goal. That's why I'm all excited about this trine. But it also is structurally asking us to say, okay, let's commit, right? Because the whole purpose of Saturn in Scorpio, what we've been working on since last October when Saturn went into Scorpio, is what do we want to commit to? Scorpio has commitment desires. It wants to merge deeply and profoundly. It wants to connect on a very deep level with people. Saturn, of course, doesn't like that kind of stuff. He wants to put a little band around himself like those giant rings and keep himself nice and safe from merging on any level. He's kind of like, no, you can't make me merge. You're scaring me when you do that. I don't want to merge with you. So Saturn has a whole merging energy to him. And so asking him to merge deeply, a whole fear of merging aspect when he's in Scorpio. So we finished the 2 years, 2.5 years of Saturn in Libra where he got clear about our relationship story and what we wanted to do with our relationships last fall. And then Saturn said, okay, ready to merge, ready to commit. Now, if we dumped the relationship we were in, what he said to us, well, you know, one of the reasons you keep picking these people that you don't really work well with is because you're afraid, and you're afraid to merge, Saturn and Scorpio, because of something that happened in your childhood, probably between the ages of 4 and 11, which is when we make little vows. You know, as little children, we go, I vow I'm never going to do that. I know I was like, I'm never going to cry in the bathroom like those women do. And, of course, you know, whenever you vow something, it always happens. I have spent many times crying in bathrooms. The vow is the commitment we make. So Saturn has been asking us over this last year, since last October, now it's 9 months, he's been asking us to revise the story, revisit the story, remember the story that went on when we were between 4 and 11, and what it did to our ability or inability, how it changed us and caused us to question how we were going to commit. And or commit to, vow to not commit, or vow to be not doing whatever we saw that we didn't like, because we're little kids. We can't really do anything about it, but we can make commitments to ourselves. So he's been asking you to revisit those. And that's what we've been working on this whole last chunk. Now that he's asked us to revisit those, now we're going to say, okay, I've revisited those, and now I'm actually ready to go forward, right? And I'm ready to build a new dream, Saturn trine Neptune, whatever that dream is. It's allowing the dream to come forward. And as Jupiter hits those boys, it hits Saturn and Neptune on Wednesday, and then Saturn hits Neptune on Friday. I'm sorry, is it on Friday or is it on? Yeah, on Friday the 19th. We have that wake up. We have that moment. And remember, this last time happened in 1966. Time before that, it happened in 29. Time before that, 1834. This is mighty rare, folks. So it's a very big week, and of course it's in water, so it can be deeply emotional, and that is part of how we motivate things. We get the idea, right? We think about it, we talk about it, you know, maybe, blah, 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 blah. Then we have the vision, fire, right? We work on our visioning skills. Then right behind that, we have the feeling. The feeling is the most important part. I can remember being in a car as a little kid, you know, doing a test drive with some auto dealers. And, you know, I guess it was a station wagon because we were all in the car. And my father's in the front seat with the driver, you know, the dealer guy, you know, he's sitting where my mother's supposed to be. And my father's behind the steering wheel. And my mother's next to me in the back seat. And the guy's next to my father. So how does it feel? Do you like this car? Do you want to take this car home? And my father looked at me and he goes, well, I'm not going to really drive this car. Donna is. My wife should be up here driving this because this is her car. She gets the station wagon. And so the guy kind of looked at my mother and realized he'd made a mistake, a tactical error. And my mother's kind of looking at him like, yeah, I'm the one that's driving the car, and you put me in the back seat, you know. So it was very funny. So they switched seats. My father got in the back seat. My mother got in the front, and then they drove. And then the guy does the same pitch. So the pitch was kind of lost a little bit, lost a little of its glory because he delivered it to the wrong person. But I was kind of like, oh, how do you feel about the car? That's going to make you decide whether you want to take it home or not. And so feeling is very important. So this Grand Trine and Water is all about the feeling. How do you feel about it? Do you want to take it home or not? And, yeah, probably we do. You know, we're probably going to want to take it home. Now, the other thing that's going to happen in the middle of the week, more towards the end of the week, is there's going to be a very fast Grand Trine in Fire when the moon's in Sag, trining Uranus, trining Venus. Okay, so the Grand Trine in Fire is going to take place on the 18th, 19th. And what that's going to do is that's going to help you see what you want, okay? So that'll be perfecting on the 20th, because fire is vision. So you're going to have that moment like my father and the auto dealer and my mother had, where you might look and go, well, that you're selling the car to the wrong person. The woman in the back seat is the one who's going to decide if we're taking this baby home. And so the dealer went, oh, okay, made a mistake, right? Let's change it out. Let's put the woman in the front seat and let her try. But, you know, whatever. You get the idea. Two parts, two visions, two stories might be their dream that you're working on. And there's a lot of reality going on. I have a couple of clients who are really working on their reality versus their parents' reality for them, and or their parents' dream of what they wanted, and trying to scrape through and say, okay, what is my actual dream for me versus what is the dream that's available or that I was given? Is it still my dream? So that's the other part, is knowing that we can really be working on other people's dreams rather than our own. And this is a week where we're going to be asked to say, is this your dream? And if it isn't, you might want to say, no, that's so-and-so's dream. You should give that to so-and-so because that's their dream. That's not my dream. My dream was this. Pallas Athena enters Cancer, and she's going to be in an emotional sign, which is rare for her. She's the detached energy. She's going to be an emotional sign until after Labor Day. And when Pallas Athena was in an emotional sign, that's when she made Medusa, because she got very angry. So Pallas Athena, who we normally rely on for detached wisdom, which she's going to be giving us this week on the 19th, but she may dissolve into tears when she enters Cancer on the 21st, which is next Sunday. Our moons this week are, of course, complementary to the evolution we're going to be going through as humans. The moon is in Libra on Monday with a closing aspect of a square to the sun, helping us back off. The Scorpio moon, the moon is in Scorpio on the 16th and the 17th, and it goes void with a trine to the sun. Now, remember, moon in Scorpio is considered a bad moon, but it also is a very deep psychological moon, and it's going to take place at the same time that it's going to go through the Grand Trine on the 16th, right? It's going to go through Saturn, Neptune, and Scorpio on the 16th, and then Jupiter goes through it on the 17th. So first, we're going to have some kind of emotional process that we go through. Then the moon's in Sagittarius on the afternoon of the 18th, 19th, and the morning of the 20th, and it goes void with a trine to Venus, which is nice. And then it enters Capricorn in the afternoon of the 20th and the 21st, going void with an opposition on the Sunday the 21st. So the opposition, and then that all leads into the full moon at zero Aquarius, where we have a brand new revelation and figure out things. So our job this week is to know that there's these huge energetic flows going through our body, through our culture, through the world. Watch for where the emotional flooding is. Know that the flooding comes in, stirs up the swamp. That's how the swamp changes. Saturn in Scorpio, the emotional breakthrough that helps you figure out what you're going to build. And then once that breakthrough happens, then we start working with that grand trine in Earth and building over the rest of the summer what we're doing. So that note, the British lady's spoken, the show's over. Good luck. This is going to be a big week. And big week, big emotional processing. So take care. And I am Ann Ortley, an astrologer here in New York at my bright red desk on July 14th. Bye.